back Stripe Show podcast on a Monday. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. Hope you had a terrific weekend. I want to start this podcast here today by saying thank you to last week. What a week it was last week. So many great guests on the podcast. Really enjoyed Boyd Summerhays on Wednesday. Taylor Gooch came on Thursday, which was interesting, and I got a lot of good feedback from those podcasts. But no podcast last week made you more money than the one that we did on Tuesday. We had Keith Stewart on, and we pretty much had this tournament nailed, because in the beginning of the podcast, when we were looking at the odds, I said, you know, this kind of feels like a Xander week, right? And so I put some money on Xander. I think he was like 14 to 1, 15 to 1, somewhere in there. And it was a Xander week because, you know, no Scheffler, no Rahm. You know, he had to kind of maybe worry about a Max Homa, who finished in the top 10. He's played well there in the past. Of course, a former champion. It just kind of felt like a Xander week. And sure enough, there was Xander with a chance to win. And then he kind of did some of his Xander things and faded away. But it created an opportunity for another guy that we talked about. Another guy that we bet at 75 to 1, as Keith Stewart stopped the podcast on Tuesday and said, look, Travis, if you played him the week before in Mexico where he finished 24th, then you got to play him again this week. And thank God he said that, because we got back on Wyndham Clark and he got to the finish line at 75 to 1. And Keith Stewart will be back tomorrow on the podcast Tuesday, all things AT&T, Byron Nelson. Thank you for being here. I've got a lot of things to share with you here today. It's just me, as it's all things Wyndham Clark this week, or today, folks. Last week was all things Tony Finau. That was fun. And today we're going to take 15 minutes or so, and it's all things Wyndham Clark. Because Wyndham Clark is someone who I've been following for quite some time. He's been on the PGA Tour now for the better part of 5 years. 29 years of age, originally from Denver, Colorado. You go way back. He won the Colorado State Championship in 2009, 2011. Originally went to Oklahoma State in 2012, where he finished in the U.S. Amateur. I think he was ninth, somewhere in there. I think he finished ninth place that year. Transferred to Oregon 2016. He won the Pac-12 championship. A lot of people remember Wyndham Clark, not so much from his Oklahoma State days, but more from his Oregon days. Not a prolific winner in college. Certainly not a prolific winner to this point as a professional, where he turned pro in 2017, spent a year on the Korn Ferry Tour, finished 23rd, got his PGA Tour card in 2018. Was close in 2020, Bermuda Championship, lost in a playoff to Brian Gay. Had a couple chances earlier in the year to win. Didn't get the job done. But here he is at the Wells Fargo Championship, and he finally got a W. Wyndham Clark is a really interesting study, because I think he's someone that represents really a lot of players who have tremendous skill set, really talented, but have a challenge perhaps kind of controlling themselves, right? Dealing with some of the mental side of the game, the emotional side of the game, the attitude side of the game. More on that in a little bit later. When you look at Wyndham Clark and you look at his golf swing, he's always been someone, when I go out there on the PGA Tour and I walk up and down the range, he's always someone that you have to stop and watch hit, because it's impressive. Everybody's impressive out there. They can all hit it great. They can hit it straight. They can draw it. They can fade it, hit it low, hit it high. But then there is that upper caliber type of swing and player that you're just kind of drawn to. And Wyndham Clark, although statistically over the years, never represented that, the eye test was always there. And, you know, here's the swing on the range. You can see he's sitting there with his launch monitor hitting shots. And it's a very simple golf swing. It's powerful. He's always had great distance off the tee, currently 312 yards, which is ninth on the PGA Tour right now. You've seen good growth in his iron game, currently 23rd strokes gain. Around the green, I think he's improved, currently 61st, and having a good season and a good run here with the putter, currently 59th. Used to work with Jeff Smith years ago. I think Jeff helped him with his swing, getting it a little bit more organized. It's a simple swing. You look at it, and it just kind of goes up and down the plane really, really clean. He does a drill here I'm going to bring in. I was putting this on Twitter, and it's a drill where you put a head cover, and you kind of hang this head cover, for those watching, slightly above the hands and slightly to the target side of the hands. I'm going to take this to address here. His caddy, John Ellis, who I think currently serves as his coach right now, and gives him another set of eyes, is standing in front of him holding a club, probably like a hybrid, with the head cover on the end of it. And he's holding the club out where the head cover is just slightly to the target side of the hands, and probably even just a little higher than the hands. And you see this a lot with players where they'll hit shots and they're just trying to get the handle on the club to turn the corner and exit back around to the left. Wyndham's a guy that likes to fade it. He certainly does not want the handle to come in high. He certainly does not want to feel like he's swinging down the target line so much, as he's very square at address, but rather getting that handle on the club head to exit a little bit more to the left. Now, I put this picture out there on Twitter, and I said in my tweet, I said, you got to make sure you've got some things prepared before you just go out there and you have your son or your wife hold this head cover out in front of you just above your hands. These players, you know, look, they work hard, most of them, on their backswing and or downswing to get things prepared, to simplify things. And when you see that head cover out there, this is very much kind of simplifying really what's happening through the impact zone. The first thing is, better make sure the club face is not open. Right. So as you take it up and you bring it down, that club face, don't get it open. You know, get that club face square where the angle of that face is running parallel to that left forearm. Club face maybe looking up towards the sky some, but don't get it open. Second thing is, you know, get some lead arm depth. That left arm, look at Wyndham. You can see it working around his body, covering his right shoulder there at the top of the swing. And the third is, you know, get that club shaft to pitch back. I know it can be a bit of a broken record, but you've got to get the club to shallow some, get it down on that right forearm there. And then from there, it really frees you up where now you can just rotate and hit it. It makes sense. Club face is not open. Just turn and hit it. You don't have to manipulate it. The lead arm has been around you, right? Makes sense. Now you can just turn and the left arm can sling right back out in front of you. Makes sense. The club shaft's pitched back. So from there, with that club head lagging, you can just turn and let it release back around the other side. So those are kind of three things as a coach that I would look at to try to get someone organized before I would get that head cover out in front and trying to get that handle to come in lower and exiting to the left. When you get to this point in someone's development and swing, the golf swing's a little bit easier at this point. You know, you're just trying to neutralize the path, get the path maybe just slightly to the left or closer to zero. When you do that, now the face doesn't have to rotate as much. That club face can stabilize. And you can just really feel like you're just turning and letting this thing release back around to the left. And I say release because Wyndham's not hanging on. When you swing left, it's not a hang on. He's not dragging the handle. He's just feeling the handle in space, low left, and letting that club head release to the left. All right, watch where this shows up in relationship to the left shoulder. See how it's kind of down under the left shoulder. So that's a drill that you see a lot of players working on, neutralizing the path, more fade biased. They have the luxury to do that, well, because they've kind of prepared themselves in the backswing and the downswing to be able to simplify the swing like that. So look, he's a guy that is impressive. When you look at these swings on video and you watch them in person, there's just something there, right? You're kind of attracted to that you're watching, that you're hearing, and the ball coming off the face. And it's kind of always been like that. And so the question becomes, well, why hasn't Wyndham Clark, you know, won more? Why didn't he win more in college? Why didn't he win on the Corn Ferry Tour? Why has it taken him 5 years to get a W to this point? And, you know, look, the first thing is that you always kind of go to is, well, it's winning's hard. You know, I mean, winning's hard when you're competing and you're going up against people that are as good as you or better than you. Winning is hard. And when you don't win, it takes its toll on anyone, right? It can be very frustrating. And when I look at Wyndham Clark and I look at maybe the growth that he's had technically and making things more organized, whether when he was with Jeff Smith, he used to work with Boyd Summerhays as well, who has done a great job with so many players, Tony Finau and Taylor Gooch, as we talked about last week on the podcast. But I think Boyd had an impact on Wyndham as well, just from the playing aspect of the game and maybe starting to address some of the emotional side of the game, some of the mental side of the game, which I know Wyndham over the last year has spent a lot of time on looking inward, you know, not looking at a position, not looking at a shot, but just rather looking inward at yourself, not being so hard on yourself, not being so hard on those around you. I think when you talk to people who have been around Wyndham, he's a great guy. He's someone that you want to hang with, but he can be hard on himself. He can be hard on his team around him. And when you're not getting that W and things aren't going the way that you want them to go, which is inevitable with the game of golf, it can take its toll. So I think Wyndham Clark, when you look at the growth here, yes, you can see it now and quantify it perhaps more statistically. As I talked about, this is his best run statistically. He's gotten better. And there's probably some technique that you can hang your hat on and why those things are. But it just feels like with Wyndham that it's really more of the mental side, more of handling his emotions. And you could see that maturity. You could see that maturity on Sunday. When he got off to the slow start, bogey in the first hole, hitting it in the rough off the tee on the second hole, missed a couple short putts for birdie on the front nine. Xander was able to come up and tie for the lead. But you could see the maturity in Wyndham, kept his head down and just kept going. And all of these things that I'm telling you with Wyndham, he would agree to it. I've heard him talk about it. And you know, giving himself perhaps a little more of a break. Like, you don't have to play perfect golf. And it's kind of weird to say that, right? To a professional golfer, this is what they do. It's like, if anybody should know what it takes, they should know, right? Like, you don't have to play perfect golf. Why are you so hard on yourself? Why are you so hard on those around you? It's frustrating when things don't come together. And I say this as I have a lot of amateurs listening to this show right now. I've had this conversation with amateurs where they come in and they kind of live and die by every swing in this studio. They live and die by every single round of golf. It's an emotional roller coaster. And when you go down that path and things are very transactional, right, it's going to take its toll over a course of time. And I think it did with Wyndham. And I think it probably did for those some around him as well. I'm guilty of it. You know, I'm guilty of it, not just in, you know, so much as a player, but maybe in the professional sense, right? Don't live and die by every single day, by every single conversation. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some, right? And it's hard because you want to win them all. It's emotional. You want to win every battle. You want every potential sponsor or partner to say yes, but they're not all going to say yes. You want every round of golf to go your way, and it just doesn't. And so it's a challenge. And so I look at Wyndham Clark's story and I look at his journey and I look at the struggles that he has perhaps from the mental side of the game and the emotional side of the game. He's not alone. I mean, he's just not alone when it comes to golf, and he's not alone when it comes to life. And so I tip my cap to him because I know he's a good guy. I don't know him personally. We've exchanged some DMs. He follows a lot of my stuff. I would love to get him on the podcast and talk to him about not so much the technical side, which we tend to do and weigh on here at the Stripe Show podcast, but more on the mental side, right? And what he does in looking internal to be the better version of himself on the golf course, controlling his emotions rather than letting his emotions get in the way. And, you know, look, I've told the story before on the podcast, and I'll finish with this, and I appreciate you being here. Keith Stewart's going to be back tomorrow on the podcast as we look to give you another big winner down at the AT&T Byron Nelson before the PGA Championship the following week. But I've told this story in the past, and I even alluded to it with Taylor Gooch on Thursday of last week. And we were talking about official World Golf ranking points. And, you know, I said to him that I felt like only 48 guys in the field is going to hurt you guys because it's easier to win a 48-person event than it is 144. I mean, it just is. But no matter how many are in the event, and when you're on a tour and you're traveling around and you get to know your competitors and you've played with them, you know that everybody around you has a super high skill set to be on the PGA Tour or LIV Golf or, you know, whatever they're playing. But I've always looked at Wyndham Clark as one of those players that I would bet if a lot of the top players said this out loud, if John Rahm, Scottie Scheffler, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, I think Brooks Koepka said it out loud a couple years ago, and Taylor and I were talking about that, in that, you know, basically that Brooks only had to worry about a handful of guys. If he had his A game, he knew that he only had to worry about a handful of guys because half of them couldn't, you know, half to three quarters of them couldn't keep up, you know, with him from a skill set standpoint. And then, you know, another 25% of them were just hotheads. And when something didn't go their way, they would just blow up and fade away. And I always kind of felt like, is Wyndham Clark that person that they would look at and they would know the skill set is there? And there was a lot of great stuff there. But just give it time and, you know, he'll kind of run hot and he'll get in his own way and he'll shy away from the big moment. And so now I look at Wyndham Clark because I think with just one win, all of that just doesn't go away. Does he continue to work on that? And does he continue to get better at that? And where he continues to put himself in that situation, and every tournament's different, and he keeps the emotion out of it if he can to the best of his degree, to allow himself to have the patience, not play perfect golf, and continue to put himself in that situation over and over again to win another tournament. Because it's really easy to say, look, oh, he's won one, now he's going to win a bunch more. There's a handful of guys that I felt that would be the case for. Tony Finau was one of them. You got the feeling when Tony would win one that he would win more, and he has. David Duvall, you go back to his skill set. Yeah, he was going to win one. He was going to win more. He felt comfortable. Is Wyndham Clark in that category? He's won one now. Now he's going to win a bunch more. I'm not there yet just because of I know of what the emotional and the mental challenge is right now. And so I hope Wyndham continues to go down this path and he continues to improve on that, because if he can continue to handle that and be the best version of himself on the golf course, I think the rest of it's there. I mean, he's got the length. The iron game's moving in the right direction. I like what I see with the putter. And so can he continue to go down that path, give himself more opportunities? And even with more opportunities, folks, even with more opportunities, sometimes it's not going to pan out. You know, sometimes it's not going to pan out. So how do you handle that? And can you get back and just continue to do the same thing and give yourself another opportunity? And then when that hits, you handle it the right way. And oh, yeah, that one, it's my time to win again. It's easier said than done. And I think so much in golf, it runs parallel to life. I know it does for me and my own business, and perhaps it does for you as you sit here and you listen to this podcast today. So Wyndham Clark, congratulations on a big W. I'll work to to get him on the podcast in the future. Keith Stewart joins us tomorrow on a Tuesday. So much great golf coming up. So many great things coming up here on the podcast. We appreciate you being here. See you tomorrow.